gave to me, and I know it probably hit some of y'all too. It's an old one that we all know. To Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Come on, sing that with me. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Amen. That's big, being debt free. I don't know if any of y'all got debt, been in debt. It's a terrible thing. It's a bondage to be in debt. Amen. But it's nothing worse than having a debt, that sin debt. And it's a debt that you can't pay. You know, you ever, anybody got the calls from the debt collectors before? You know, and you don't answer. Anybody done that? You let it go to voicemail. And then every now and then they'll catch you. And they'll set up a time where you can make arrangements. Anybody, I know I'm not by myself. Anybody ever had to make an arrangement for some debt? And they gave you some time. You can pay it off. You give you four payments and it'll be what with it. Or they'll make a deal with you. They say, listen, if you pay this amount, we'll wipe it on out. And you're able to get that debt. This is a debt. Guess what? There are no arrangements that can be made that you can make to pay this debt. The only way that this debt can be, Jesus had to pay the debt. Isn't that an awesome thing? And we were talking about this morning on our way here, me and DJ, for a devotion and about how we get into heaven. The fact of the matter is you can't do enough good. Jesus has already done it. All I got to do is accept what he's already done on my behalf. That's an awesome thing. Amen. Praise God for the fact that we are debt free today. Amen. It's good to be back home, y'all. Last week we were in Jamaica, praise God. But last week, I'm going to tell you, Pastor Larry Page brought a word last Sunday. Were you here last Sunday? Amen. We were in Jamaica trying to watch some of it in our hotel room before we checked out. And we watched about half of the message. Then I got a chance to watch and listen to it when I got back home. And man, I'm trying to tell you, naked and unashamed. And he unpacked some stuff last week. It's like, man, I had never even thought about that. And we had a good time on Wednesday night kind of unpacking and discussing that a little bit more. And the reason why I asked him, and I love the way he approached it, because several weeks ago I asked, when I knew I was going to be out of town, I asked if he could preach on the topic of sexual purity, because this month, the month of March, that was the first message in the series. The series is called Uncensored. Uncensored. And we're going to be having talk about love, sex, and relationships because, you know, sometimes there's certain things that we don't talk about enough in church. Amen? And the thing about it that's funny is stuff we don't talk about, but we know all of us got issues with. And we just kind of keep it hush-hush. There are people under the sound of my voice right now who are suffering in that area of sexual purity, people suffering in their marriage. There are people suffering and trying to understand how God wants me to live as a single person. So what we're going to do for the rest of this month, we're going to be talking about just different relationships. And I thank God that Pastor Page kind of started us off last week. And what he started us off with was so rich. That first point that he said last week, you got to know your fame. You got to understand who you are. That is so important. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever state you are, what you have to understand that you are special. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. God also says that, listen, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I tell you, a lot of the stuff that we get into is because we don't have a healthy understanding of who we are. And it's so important that we understand who we are. And once we understand who we are, you got to see what the game is. You got to understand that the devil is crafty, he's tricky, and the way he tricks us up is to try to offer us something that God already says is ours, to create a need that we don't even really need, we don't even really have. and get us desiring things outside of God's timing, things that God has already declared are ours, and we try to get them outside of his timing and outside of his design. And then once you see the game, then what he says, what is, you got to worship through shame. That piece right there was so powerful. And I tried to apply it. I talked to him this week when I was at work, and I just was telling, I was just taking notes on some of the stuff he was sharing. And that is so powerful that, you know, when we come in the church, we all put on airs. And the fact of the matter is, even in my private, even when I'm talking to God in private, sometimes I'm faking. And when he said, listen, God said, I see you. I really, really see you. Why am I faking even in private? God is telling you, just lay it all. Let everything be open and laid bare before the one with whom we have to deal. That's what God is calling us to be. That's what God is calling all of us to do, wherever you are in life, just to worship through your shame, no matter what you have done. That's the good thing about it is, no matter what your shame, listen, no matter what you're feeling bad about this morning, Brad said, Dave just said it, what, we're debt free. No matter what you've done in your past, no matter what it is, it could have been some sexual immorality. You could have some kind of addiction. You could have done something you weren't supposed to do. And God said, listen, I want you to worship me through the shame. And I want you to be honest with me with all of that. Put all of that in front of me because I already know you got the issue in the first place. Amen? That was so powerful. And we praise God for Pastor Page bringing that word. And this morning, we want to continue on in this series of uncensored, real talk about love, sex, and relationships. And it's a topic that I want to talk about this morning that we don't talk about enough. I'm going to be honest. I can't remember the last time that we talked about it right here. And if many of you have remembered this show back in the 90s, it was a show. Queen Latifah used to be in it. Kim Fields. What's the show? Living Single. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that show, Living Single? Well, this morning, God put on my heart to say, you know, this is the topic we need to talk about, because I'm here to tell you, when it comes to talking about relationships in church, 9 times out of 10, you're going to hear a message on marriage and family, how to raise your children. And I'm going to tell you, all of us in here have been single people. Amen. And some of us are single, we're married and we're single again. And God wants to show us how to live single. Because, and I feel bad because sometimes, a lot of times you see single people in the church and there's a message on marriage and family, and it's good because you need to learn what marriage is all about as a single person. But God also wants to show you how to live single so you can prepare for marriage. Because I'm here to tell you right now what the statistics tell us, that 50% of marriages end in divorce. 50% of marriages end in divorce. I was watching a message and preparing this. I was just kind of listening what some people's angles on it. And I heard one pastor say, listen, if you got on a plane and the flight attendant said you have 50% chance of you getting to your destination, if you have a 50% chance of crashing and burning, how many of us would get off that plane? But I know I would. I was just on that plane, and man, when we took off from BWI, that turbulence, I'm looking at Tracy, I'm grabbing her hand like, what in the world? But if they told you going in that you got a 50-50 shot of this thing failing, most of us wouldn't do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, the statistics say that 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and guess what? That ain't much different in the church. It's about the same. But guess how many people in church, when you come to church, you know, if you're a single person coming to church, how many people have already, somebody tried to matchmake you? And so many of us are looking for a mate. We're looking for a husband. We're looking for a wife. And God, and look, if you look at the statistics, you say, hold on, let me slow my roll. Because the Bible does say, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor. But if I'm going to do this, I better be certain that I find the right one, that I'm doing things right the right way. But too often we enter into marriage haphazardly. That's why the divorce rate is so high in the world and in the church. Right now, marriages, I mean, people are nowadays, they don't even consider marriage a big deal. 70% of the children in the black community are born into a single parent home. So what we got to understand is this. If we want marriages that work, if we want families that work, we got to understand how to live single. And I'm here to tell you, I gave Brother Tim the title, Single and Satisfied. God wants you to be single and satisfied. Because I'm here to tell you that there are a lot of married folks who are not happy right now because they never learn how to live single. Can we pray? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, that your word has something to say about everything. And I pray, Lord, that you'll challenge us today. I thank you for our singles here. I thank you for the state that they are in right now. I pray, God, that they'll look at this time period as a time of preparation. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for those of us who are married, God, that the lessons that we learn in our single life, that we'll be able to impart them. And God, some of these lessons that we're talking about for our singles today, I pray as married people, we'll apply them for our lives as well. Challenge us, God. Let us be an example to the world on how marriage and family should be and how living single should be. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I was preparing this, I don't know, I could not get this song out of my head. There was a song in my head that I could not get out of my head. You got this song? Brother Tony? There's a song. How many of y'all know Cameo? Anybody know Cameo? Y'all remember this song? Do y'all remember this song, Brother Tony? You got the song? If he gets it, we'll play it. But it was a song by the Cameo used to have. Never mind. Go ahead. You got it? That's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't. Huh? You said 1 second? Okay. Well, there was a song, Cameo. Well, that's not Cameo. That's Beyonce. That's not Cameo. But that, see, that's more modern. That's more modern. Y'all have heard that song, right? All right. That's more today. But this is a. Y'all remember that? Go ahead. Turn it on. Go ahead. I just wanted the audio, Tony. I wanted the audio, Tony. Thank you. That's okay. You can turn it off. Thank you. I appreciate that. But hey, I'm here to tell you because the world has an image of what it means to be single. You know, I mean, when you look at my brother Blackman from Cameo, that single life, living that single life, that's the jet setting. That's, I mean, he's riding around. You can have all the ladies you want. You can do whatever you want. But God said, no, listen, as the body of Christ, we got to live single different. We got to live single different. And what he has something to say about being single in his word. And I want us to look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's just so rich that his word has something to say about whatever state you are in your life right now. 1 Corinthians 7, I want to look at verse 25. And we're going to look through verse 35. These 10 verses, I want to read. It says, now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they don't. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if they were not theirs to keep. Those who use things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world. How she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. That's an awesome thing. He wants us to live in undivided devotion to the Lord. Another scripture that I want to read from Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 30. So the most important one is this. This is when Jesus was answering the question, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus answered, he said, this is it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is the greatest commandment. Did y'all hear what the passage just said in 1 Corinthians? He said, listen, he told the married folk, he told people, listen, if people who are married, they're going to have many troubles in this life. Can any married people testify to that? You don't have to raise your hand if your wife is next to you. Amen. But marriage is not always easy. You know, since being here last, I praise God, we had an opportunity to do a wedding. It was a beautiful ceremony for Zay and Janice. And we praise God for them getting married. And they're all excited. It was a beautiful day. It was a wonderful day. But I'm here to tell you that, listen, my wife says, well, let's see how everything is after the swelling goes down. Because guess what? Marriage is challenging. It is a blessing beyond belief. But I'm here to tell you it's challenging. And it's written in a time period. See, in the time period when this was written, the church is being persecuted. So it's very important. He said, listen, he's writing. You got to look in the context that it's a challenge. Listen, if we're going to be married and live for God right now, being married, I understand that, listen, my devotion is to God, but I also got a family I got to take care of. And right now, during this season, when Paul was writing this, you know, you got to say, look, it's very hard for me to say, I'm going to lay my life down, but if I do that, I got wife and kids that I'm going to leave behind. So he's saying that there's divided loyalties there. You can do it, but God is calling me as a husband to take care of my family. And what he's saying to people in this passage is that not one is bad and one is good. Both have his advantages. But what you got to do is, as a single person, take advantage of the opportunity that you have right now. That you can serve God with an undivided devotion. You don't have anything else. You can just go wholeheartedly for God right where you are, without having to worry about anyone else. Because you got the passage, the scriptures tell us early or late in other passages about if you have an unbelieving spouse, what to do. See, if you're living for God, you can understand some of us here today understand what it's like to say you want to live for God, but your spouse does not. And your spouse may be a Christian, and he may be a Christian, and one may be more committed than the other. And you can see how that can pull on you. When you're single, guess what? You don't have that problem. It's just you and who else? You and God. And what the Lord showed me as I was preparing this, he wants our singles to live single and satisfied. And there's 6 points that I want to leave if you're single, no matter what age you are. When we think of singles, we usually think of young people. But you know what? We got singles in their 40s, 50s, 60s right here. And God said, listen, I got a word for you today. I want you all to say the word single. Say single. God, as a single, he wants you to live single and satisfied. We're going to take the 6 letters in the word single, and I'm going to give you some principles on how to live single right here in 2019, how God would have you to live single so you can prepare yourself to be the kind of person that, if God brings you a husband or wife, so you can be the husband or wife that God called you to be. To be single like God wants you to be single and satisfied, the first letter is S, and the letter S stands for surrender your life to God. Surrender your life to God. If you to be single and satisfied, it starts with a surrendered life. That's what he talked about in the passage. He said, listen, to be devoted, to be complete, have undivided devotion for the Lord. The word surrender, if you look at the definition of the word surrender, I looked it up. It means to yield to the possession or power of another. To yield to the possession or power of another. You know, a familiar passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, when I do weddings, I always talk about this passage because it talks about the wives submitting to the husbands, and it also talks about the couple submitting to one another. But I'm here to tell you, you got to surrender to God as a single person. If you don't surrender your life to God, you're never going to surrender to another person. See, and what God is calling you right now, right where you are, is to surrender your life to God. There's some of you here need to surrender your life to God for the very first time. There's somebody here who's never given your life to God. You listen, Brother Dave said earlier that you're debt free, but I'm here to tell you there's some people under the sound of my voice have a debt that you have to pay that you ain't free from it yet. And the only way for you to get free from your sin debt is for you to surrender your life to God. You must admit that you're a sinner and come and say, I give you my life, I give you my sin, and I want you to forgive me of all of that sin that I've done, and I receive the gift of salvation. You got to surrender your life. If you're a single person here and you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to surrender your life to him today for the very first time. But if you're here and you have accepted Christ, you got to surrender your life every single day. The Bible tells us we got to what? Die how often? Daily. If you want to follow me, you must take up your cross every day and follow me. The Bible in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That's surrender. Offer. The word offer right there. I underline the word offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What is that? Surrender. To give your life over. To give your body over. You need to surrender your will. You need to surrender your body to God. If you want to live single like God would have you. The Bible said, look, you're not your what? Own. We just read it in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your strength. That's surrender. He said, God, I want to give you my everything. I love you. In response to what you have done, the Bible said, Paul said, the love of Christ compels me. When I look at the love that he had for me, it drives me and it pushes me to surrender my life in a show of love and affection and devotion for him. My question to you as a single person, are you living a surrendered life? Or are you doing you? You only live once. You're doing your thing. Right? God is calling you. Listen, you are not, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. He said, listen, you can't do you because it don't belong to you. You got to surrender your life. And as a single person, right where you are today, you must make a commitment to surrender your life to God. We're talking about living single versus living married. But I'm here to tell you, if you're a Christian today and you're single, you are married. He said, we are the what? Bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. So you gotta begin to get in your mindset that it ain't about me, it's about him. And this affects every aspect of your life. You got to surrender your will. When you don't want to get up, that clock, man, losing that hour messed me up. Anybody? I had an attitude like early yesterday morning, anticipating losing my hour. Anybody like me? And I'm like, you know, but guess what? He said, I still got to get up and like, spend time with him. But what you got to do when it's surrendering, surrender starts right now as a single person saying, when I don't feel like it, guess what? I go anyway. Because he is what? Worth it. You got to surrender your life. If you want to be single and satisfied, it starts with you surrendering your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And it says, and he died for all that those who should live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Surrender means you don't live for yourself anymore. It ain't about what you want to do. It ain't about what career you want to choose. It's about, God, my life is yours. Show me in every aspect of my life what you have me to do. That's for you as a single person. That starts today. Because if you don't get that down, when you get into a marriage, and you're not in the habit of surrendering to God, and your wife or your husband is not cooperating, you're gonna have a problem. When you get in a marriage and you haven't surrendered your body. But listen, as a single person, I have not begun to devote my body, and my body is the temple, and I'm not engaging in sexual immorality. When you get in a marriage and your wife is on her monthly cycle and she can't give you none. Y'all can look at me like I'm crazy if you want to. Or when she got an attitude, or he ain't acting right, or whatever. And listen, the feelings don't go away. When you haven't got in a habit as a single person of possessing your vessel and sanctification and honor, you will step out on your marriage. Come on now. See, when you haven't lived surrender, right, surrendering your life starts right now when there's no husband and there's no wife. So when I do that, because then what happens is when that happens in your marriage, you can be like Joseph. And Joseph said, I can't do this sin against God. When Potiphar's wife came up to Joseph. Joseph was single, and Joseph knew what it would mean to be surrender with no wife. He had nobody in his life as a single young man. A woman comes to him, is the second highest ruler in the land. His wife comes up to him, and listen, I'm sure she was fine, because if you were a ruler, I'm sure you didn't pick the least attractive women. I know Pharaoh had the finest sisters in the harem. He had to have the finest sisters. And so this woman came up to him. Potiphar's wife came up and said, listen, I want you. Came up to him trying to take his clothes off. It's only us in the house. Who's going to know? If he wasn't surrendered and surrendered, Joseph said, I cannot do this sin against God. When you're surrendered, you say, I can't do this sin against God. Nobody's looking. I don't have nobody. I'm not cheating on my wife. It's just me. But guess who I'm cheating on? I'm cheating on my Savior. To be single and satisfied, you've got to surrender your life. Present your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. S stands for surrender your life. The next letter in single is I. I stands for to identify, improve, and invest your gifts. Identify, improve, and invest your gifts. Now that you're in this season of your life, is a time of you for you to identify your gifts. And I'm not just talking about your spiritual gifts. I'm talking about your natural gifts. Do you know there's some of us that don't even know? We're not clear about what our gifts, where our strengths lie, what our talents are. God said this is a season for you to identify your gifts. Then once you identify, you improve it. You develop your gift. And once you've done that, then what do? Invest your gift. You give your gift away. That's what you're supposed to do in this season. Do you know how many married people did not understand their gifts, did not understand their talents, didn't understand how God has wired them, and they get married, and then they're trying to figure it out. And now, listen, as a man, you can't do that with a spouse and children, because guess what? God is calling me to lead my family. And if I'm confused about who I am, how can I lead them? So now is the time, as a single person, whatever age you are, you need to identify your gifts. Several weeks ago, a month or two ago, I know we were having Bible study in the back, and Sister Tanya Fuller asked, how many of you know what your spiritual gift is? And it was a large percent of us that did not understand what that is. You got to figure out what your spiritual gift is. But you got to understand how God has wired you. I know Pastor Mac, and I do it all the time. If you were ever counseled with Pastor Mac, he probably had you do what's called a DISC assessment. A DISC assessment, where you understand what your personality type is, what your gift is. Do you know it's important for you to know how God has wired you? It's important for you to know that right now, because that goes into what kind of career choices you make. It goes into a lot of things. What God is telling you as a single person is to know what your gift is. And so often we get preoccupied. I think back to what Pastor Larry talked about last week in Genesis. We get so preoccupied with that one thing that we're not developing what God has given us. God is telling you to identify your gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So another passage that is really familiar to some of us is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And it's the parable of the talents. How many of you are familiar with parable of the talents? Well, the parable of the talents, it was a master who was leaving, and he had three servants. He had three servants, and he said, listen, I'm going to give all of you all some money. I'm going to give you all of y'all some stuff. And you can see in the passage here, he says, and he went away on a journey, and he entrusted his wealth to his servants. He gave one of them five bags of gold. Another, he gave two bags. Another, he gave one. Each according to their what? According to their what? Their talents. To their gifts. To their abilities. And then he went away. And then it said the man who received five bags of gold, what did he do? He went and improved on his gift. He got his five bags. He put his money to work and gained what? Five more bags. So now he has 10. So the one who had two, he did improved on his work. He gained two more. But the one who had received one, he went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. What God is calling you to do as a single person is take the gift, because God has given all of us a gift. When you come to know Christ, he's given you a spiritual gift. But just by you being on this earth, he's given you some abilities that nobody else has. He's giving you some talents, and he's telling you, I want you to take the gift that I've given you, and now I want you to improve on it, to develop your gift. How many of us are here today are sitting on our gifts? Because, number one, maybe because I'm not even clear what it is. As a single person, now is the season in your life for you to identify how God has wired you, identify the spiritual gift that he's given you, and then what you do, what? Improve on it. You got to develop it. How do you develop it? You got to start using it. You got to start putting yourself in places where you can develop it. Listen, this is like going to the gym. You're working out. You got God. Listen, God has given us all muscle. He's given us all muscle. But some of our muscle is more developed than others. Some of our muscle has been overtaken by adipose tissue, present party included. But what God is calling us to do, he's telling me to take the muscle he's given me, and now, he wants me to improve upon it. My question is, as a single person, are you improving upon the gifts that God has given you? First, have you identified what your gift? Have you identified what it is? And once you've identified it, are you building on it? That's what God is calling you to do right now in this season. But not only do you identify and improve on it, but what else do you have to do? To invest your gift. To invest your gift. The word to invest means to use, give, or devote time, talent, etc., as for a purpose or to achieve something. I like that. To use, give, or devote a time, talent, etc., as for a what? Purpose or to achieve something. What God is calling you to invest your gift, to use it, whatever it is, for a what? Purpose. See, a lot of times what you got to do, once you identify your gift, then you got to use your gift in line with the purpose that he's created you. Do you know why God created you? Give him glory. He created us to give him glory. So now, whatever it is, if I have a gift to sing, God now has said, listen, I want you to use that gift to what? Glorify me. If I've given a gift to speak, what he wants me to do now is use my gift to speak to what? Glorify him. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Next one. Change the slide for me. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. What is he saying? He wants you to develop your gifts. And now that you develop it, he wants you to what? Invest it in serving others. The gift that God has given you, are you using it to impact other people's lives? That's what he's calling us to do. Right now, we have single people. Listen, the church needs singles in a huge way. Do you know, man, I'm going to tell you right now, I just kind of think about what it was like for me when I used to do youth ministry. Brother Dave can tell you, Sister Kenya, man, we used to do youth ministry and we had unlimited energy. We had unlimited energy, man. We would meet every week. Us. We would meet and see what we were going to do every week. We were all over the place. Man, and I said, man, I don't think I'm ever going to get rid of this energy. And then I got married. And then I had a kid. And then God added two more to my family. And he said, look, you don't have all that kind of time no more. It's good in your head, but see what God has said, look, now there are some people he's placed in the body of Christ that are in a season that they don't have all of that, and God has given them some of those same gifts that y'all had. They have those same gifts, and now my question is, if you're in the body of Christ and God may have given you this gift, are you investing that gift into somebody in the body of Christ? Young, old, no matter how old you are right now in this single state, single, a key to be single and satisfied is identify your gift, to improve your gift, and invest your gift. There are so many people who are single who are moping around because they ain't married yet. How many of y'all met folks like that? They waiting for that husband, waiting for God to bring them that wife. They're waiting for that, that's the missing piece. And the sign that you're moping is a sign you ain't ready. Because until you get to a place where you're satisfied by yourself, listen, you ain't ready for nobody. And one way that you can get completely focused by yourself is what you do. You begin to invest your gifts. You don't have time to figure out, think about what you don't have when you're busy using what God has already given you. What did Larry say? What's the game? To try to convince you that you need something that you already have. Marriage is a good thing. And you might, there might be a husband or a wife around the bend, but God has given you some stuff right where you are right now. The question is, are you using it for his glory? Single. S stands for what? Surrender. I stands for? Identify, improve, and invest your gift. N stands for network with people of like mind. Network with people of like mind. Right now, as you're single, listen, the Bible, if you look back at the passage in Genesis 2 that Pastor Larry talked about last week, he said Adam was there, and God looked at Adam and said, it is not good for man to be what? Alone. It's not good for man to be alone. What do I mean by that? Is that God created all of us to be in relationship. He created us to be in relationship. He wants you to be connected with people. God is calling you right now in the single season of your life to network, to give an opportunity to network with people of like mind. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? What you need to do in this season is begin to surround yourself. Listen, you don't have to worry about necessarily a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, or a girlfriend, but surround yourself with people of like mind. And if it is for you to be married, guess what? The best place to find that right spouse is in a community of people with the like mind. The Bible said, don't be unequally yoked together with what? Unbelief. I'm here to tell you, if you're a Christian and you're single, God is not calling you to be isolated and alone. You can be single without being alone. God wants you to be in a community of people. I praise God. I was talking to Brother Shep the other day, and he said, some of us young adults, we're just going to get together Friday, discuss the word, have some fun, chop it up. You know, some single, some married. That's what God is calling you to do. Get some young people or older people, wherever you are, and singles together, people of like mind, and encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Don't forsake the assembling together of one of each other, but do it all the more as you see the day approaching. That's not just on Sundays. Listen, you can do that in your house just like they did this weekend. A network. A networking is an association of individuals having a common interest formed to provide mutual assistance, helpful information, or the like. I love that. To provide mutual assistance. Sounds like Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Says two are better than one, verse 9-12, because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Spend this time networking. But networking with people of like mind. You just don't understand how many times I have to talk to people. I know I work in the environment I work with predominantly women. And they're young women, most single, some single moms. And many times they come in, Dr. McKinney, with their relationship problems. Why do I keep getting this one? I said, well, if you keep shopping in the trash can, you're going to keep getting trash. You're going to keep getting trash. You keep digging in the trash can and wonder why you keep getting trash. You got to change your environment. There's a statement in business that says when you change your network, if you change your network, it will change your net worth. Circle of five. If you look at the people, the five people closest to you, you all probably have similar jobs, similar income, similar marital relationships. What you got to do, that's why the Bible, listen, all of these principles of success in business are biblical. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, but there's some of us who can be unequally yoked with believers. If they don't have the same mind, if y'all ain't going in the same direction, it's a problem. Right now in your single life is a time for you to network with people of like mind. It's an opportunity for you to get and find friends and create healthy relationships of people with like mind. And isn't that amazing? When you begin to focus on healthy relationships, I know Joshua Harris used to try to say this and focus on this a lot when he had a book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And his premise was just focus on good, healthy, godly relationships. And when you have good, healthy, godly relationships, guess what? That's a great environment to find a spouse in. But if you keep going to the club and trying to find your godly man, it ain't likely he's in there. It's just highly unlikely. I just had this conversation with somebody and this young lady is trying to tell me, and while she's trying to get her fiance to start doing godly things, why he's staying out all night and why he doing this and why he doing that. I said, this because he ain't saved. Point blank, period, in the story. You trying to get him to do something that you trying to get him to act like something before he is something. And so what you got to do, and the reason why that you're in the space that you're in, is because you stopped hanging out with church folks. You told me that you said, listen, I don't like hanging around with church folks no more. So you found you a man, and now you're trying to get him to act like he's from church. You're networking with people that are not like mine. What you got to do right now as a single person, you got to begin. If you want to be single and satisfied, and if you want God to use you, listen, you got to get networked. You got to put yourself in the right circle. And I'm here to tell you, it ain't going to be a whole lot of people. It ain't going to be a whole lot of people. Daniel had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had three dudes with him. Wasn't a whole lot of folks. Jesus had 12. One of the 12 wasn't legit. He was a Benedict Arnold. He just had 12, and those 12, out of those 12, and when the rubber met the road, all of them were gone. When you're talking about networking with like-minded people, I started thinking about it. I don't have a whole lot of friends. I got people that I'm cool with and associates, but in a pinch, I'm gonna call Dave. I can't list a whole lot of people. When I'm going through an issue in my relationship, I'm gonna call Dave first, probably. Because guess what? There ain't a whole lot of people trying to do what we're trying to do. If you're a single person, what you got to do, God's calling you to network with like-minded people first. But you know what? It starts with you surrendering your life to God. When you surrender your life to God, then you ask God, God, show me the friends you want to be in my life. You surrender your life to God. So God, show me, God, how you've gifted me. Show me how to improve my gifts and invest my gifts. And then, listen, now you can network with like-minded people. And the next letter in single is what? G, get busy serving others. Get busy serving others. Church is not a spectator sport. God is calling you to serve. Matthew 20, verse 26 and 28 says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Verse 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. He took on the very nature of a servant. We can get so dissatisfied with where we are in our state of singleness because God is saying, if you got busy serving and seeing how you can take your gift and serve other people, you would be less dissatisfied. God is calling you right where you are to begin to invest your life. Get busy serving others. Right now, look, as I look around this room, there are a number of single people here. Church, you know what? Single folks, the church needs y'all. There's some teenagers that need y'all. There's some teenage young ladies that need a young woman or a single woman to show them, look, you can stay pure. I know what your emotions say. I know he's telling you you're cute, but I'm telling you right now, I'm 25, I'm 30, I'm 35, I'm 40, I'm 50, and I made it. I didn't give in. And this is what I did to get through. And here's a community of people that help you. Listen, as a single person, you need to give your life. How can you serve? How are ways that you can be invested in your life? I know I praise God for Sister Josephine. Josephine said, listen, I'm a single person, but God has given me a burden for seniors. She's given me a burden as a single person to be able to check in on and care for people who are my mom's age or older. God has put a burden for seniors in my heart. Do you know that God needs single people to minister to seniors. It doesn't have to be just seniors to minister to seniors. Get busy serving others. Can you imagine how powerful we'll be if we all get that mindset? Listen, guess the worship team needs some singles. We praise God. We have singles. We praise God. We have a single young lady. We have a new person on our worship team. Thank God for Robin. Robin said, listen, I'm getting ready to be a senior in high school. That's hard to believe. She said, I'm getting ready to be a senior in high school, and I don't have any more extracurricular obligations right now. I want to sing on the worship team. God needs singles. Get busy serving other people. And when you're doing that, guess what? You're doing what our Savior did. That's what he's calling you to do. What? Not to come to be served. Oftentimes we come to church, we look at a church, and we'll look at what the ministry list is and say, okay, what is that? What meets my need? And instead of saying, God, I understand, I've identified my gift, I've been investing my gift, and now, God, I understand what my gift is, and I want to get busy using it, serving other people. Oh, they don't have a singles ministry. They don't have this. I was just so encouraged last week when a brother said, listen, I just saw a need. We got a community of young millennials and young adults in here. I just want to invite them all. Let's get together. That's what God is looking. You don't need an invitation. Get busy serving. Surrender your life. Identify, improve, invest your gift. Network with people of like mind. Get busy serving. Next letter, L. You know what L is? You got to love yourself. Love yourself. Now, some of you, this is not, I'm not talking a humanistic mindset. But you got to listen. The Bible, God put this on my heart when we were talking in Bible study the other night. Because we started reading some scripture. And we look at Psalm 139. Say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God said, I knew you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. In Psalms, he said, listen, he made you a little lower than the angels and crowned you with glory. He has put you, given you dominion over everything here. He said that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people chosen by God. God, listen, what he's telling you, if you look in the passage, the Bible says, what is the greatest commandment in Mark chapter 12? He says what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And then he said, the second is this, love your neighbor how? So what he's saying, loving your neighbor, before you love your neighbor, you got to do what? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. So I can't, before, listen, your neighbor, my spouse is my neighbor. Okay, that person next to me is my neighbor. I don't even know how to love my wife until I love God and understand how he's wired me and love how he's made me. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? There are so many marriages, people are unhappy because they don't even like themselves. And you don't like yourself, so what you thought is, in order to make me complete, I'm going to find somebody else to try to fill a void. Then listen, when you're not complete, you can't take two incomplete things and make it complete. It's still incomplete. What God is telling you, in order for you to be whole in a relationship, you got to understand how God has wired you and come to love what God has made. He said to love your neighbor as yourself. Ephesians chapter 5, the passage we talked about earlier, said a man, listen, he loves his wife as he loves his own body. God is calling you as a single person right now to love yourself. And this is not, like I said, don't get into this humanistic mindset. I love myself, you know, all of that self-talk. But you love yourself because of what God has made you. Because how he has designed you. You got to understand that you are special in his sight. You listen, the fact of the matter is you are special in his sight. You're so special. That's why he came, so that you can be debt free. He made you to love you. He designed you to love you. He created you in whose image? In his image. So this morning, what I'm telling you as a single person, I'm asking you, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? When you don't understand who you are, when Pastor, like Pastor Larry said, when you don't know your fame and you don't love who God has made you, you will have destructive behavior. We see it all the time in our community right now. I mean, people are destroying themselves, doing things like, what in the world are you doing? Because what? There's a problem on the inside. They don't understand, number one, who God is, and they don't understand who God has made them. And if you want to be single and satisfied, you got to get to the place where you love yourself. You say to yourself that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows this real well, that you are special in his sight. Single and satisfied, you got to surrender your life. You got to identify, improve, and invest your gift. You need to network with people who are of like mind. You got to begin to get out there and begin to serve other people. And then you got to love yourself. Understand that God has made you special. God made you special. And he loves you very much. If you're a parent in here, you know where that comes from. Where's that from? VeggieTales. VeggieTales. Listen, God made you special and he loves you very much. The last letter in single is what? E? E stands for enjoy life right where you are. What do I mean by that? The Bible says, listen, in Philippians chapter 4, for I have learned, Paul said, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. What he wants you to do is love, listen, enjoy life. Enjoy the state where he's put you. Stop worrying about, listen, I'm so worried about over there that I'm not enjoying where I am right here. God is calling you to enjoy life where you are. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 says, even so, I've noticed one thing, at least that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them and to accept their lot in life. You know, it's okay to enjoy right where you are. Do y'all know the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above? And do you know what your gift is? Right now, if you're single, being single is a gift. Have you ever looked at your singleness as a gift from God? God has given you this season of life where it can be just you and him, where you can devote yourself to serving him, where you can devote yourself to identifying what your gifts are. This is a precious gift right here. The passage we read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 refers to it, being married and being single as a gift. And what God is calling you to do is to, right where you are in this season as a single person, just enjoy it. Make the most of the opportunity, because why? Life is too short. Life is too short. You know, I remember when I was earlier on in my marriage, I guess it's about year two, probably year two. Year one was easy. And Tracy don't mind me saying, year one was easy. We just like, okay, well, why does everybody think marriage is so hard? This is not a problem. This is cool. You know, I've known you all my life. You know me all my life. Everything's just flowing. I'm good. We're good. Year two, I was like, man, what in the world? And I never forget, I was telling Al, you know, because Al at the time was single. And Al, I told Al one day, said, man, shoot, sometime I wish I had your hand. Because this ain't all that easy, especially when you bumping heads and it don't seem like one is going, it's like, oh my goodness. And I'm here to tell you right now, when you're single, when you're begging, it's like, God, bring me a husband, bring me a wife, bring me the, God is telling you, don't stop asking for that. Just ask God to make me who you want me to be. God, don't be asking. You don't have to ask him for a wife, because listen, if for you, the Bible said, listen, what happened to Adam? The Bible created single people first, didn't it? Adam was single, and he says, and then God brought to him Eve. God brought Eve to Adam and paraded her in front of him and said, why don't you take a look at this? When you're, listen, and guess when he did that? God brought Eve to Adam when Adam was doing what God had called him to do. God had put him in there and he was what? Taking care of the job God had given him. And at that point, he brought Eve. Why don't you right now in the season where you are, just get busy doing what God's called you right where you are and enjoy it. Because guess what? Today is short and you never get it back. Today is joy. You'll never get it back. God is calling you. Living single. Are you single and satisfied this morning? Are you single and satisfied? And I'm a firm believer, until you get single and satisfied, you'll never be prepared to be married. Because God wants you to be content right where you are. Amen? Can we all stand together? You know, this word is for singles, but this word is also, these principles can apply to any and everybody. Wherever you are, listen, if you're married, you still got to surrender. If you're married here today, God wants you to identify your gift. You might be married, like I said, you might be in a position where you're married and you didn't apply these principles, so you're still trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. God wants you to, listen, take time and ask him, God, show me where you want me to be, what you want me to be. Put yourself surrounded in a network of people who are of like mind. Then get busy serving others. It ain't about you, it's about him. Get busy serving others. Love yourself. Understand that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you don't need anybody else to complete you. Listen, all you need is him. Pastor Larry said it last week. You plus God plus nothing equals everything. You can be complete in him. And then finally, enjoy the state right where you are. Enjoy where God has placed you right where you are. Every head bowed, every eye closed today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Being single, single and satisfied. First point I said is, you got to surrender your life to God. And here today, I want to speak to not just singles, but I want to speak to anybody here under the sound of my voice. If you've never surrendered your life to God, you might be watching us online today. If you've never surrendered your life to God, God designed you and created you to be in a relationship with him. He made you to love you. What he's calling you to do, before you can be single and satisfied, you got to understand how he's created you, and you got to come to have your sins forgiven and be made right with God. All of us are sinners. All of us are separated from God because of our imperfection called sin. And what God is calling us to do is, listen, you must admit that you're a sinner. If you want to be made right with God, to have your debt paid, like Brother Dave said earlier, to have your sin debt paid, you must admit that you're a sinner separated from God. You must believe that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you, that he was buried and he rose again. And you must make the choice to ask him into your life, forgive you of your sin, and make you the person he wants you to be. If you do that today, he said, I will give you eternal life and you'll never perish. And he also said, I will offer you abundant life, life full of meaning and purpose right here. If you'd like to give your life to Christ today, with your head bowed and your eye closed, I want you to silently repeat this after me. Say, dear God, I admit that I am a sinner. And today, I want to make the choice to invite you into my life. God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. I believe that he died on the cross. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again. And now I ask that, Lord, you come into my heart, forgive me of all of my sins, and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, you repeated that after me, inviting Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, could you raise your hand right where you are? If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart and you want to make that decision to have Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, could you raise your hand right where you are? Is there one? Is there one? Second If you're here and you're single, talking to my singles this morning, and you say, Pastor Dwayne, the word spoke to me this morning, and I want to make the decision to surrender my life, begin to identify and use my need. Does anyone else want prayer this morning? If you're single, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all of our singles here. We thank you, Lord, for males, the men, the women, younger and older, Lord God, who are in this season of life, people who are single again. God, it's sometimes difficult and challenging in a culture that inundates us with all kind of immoral images, inundates us with all kind of ideas about relationships. God, it's so difficult and challenging sometimes. But I pray, Lord God, that you will strengthen them, that you will surround them with a network of people of like mind to encourage them in their walk with you. I pray, God, that you'll raise up a remnant of single people who are devoted to you, that have living surrendered lives, God, that are using their life and using this season to impact other people. I declare, Lord God, and decree over them that they will understand and know how you have wired them and gifted them, and that you, God, will launch them into this world to use their gifts for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you that your word has something to say about every season of our lives. We pray, God, that you out of this place will raise up some satisfied singles. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.